promoted in our world today. Too many young people are demanding their rights and disregarding their responsibilities. And what are the responsibilities of a child, a teenager? What is God asking of a child or a teenager? And why is he asking it? Well, the answers are found in the Bible. In this passage we're going to look at today, Ephesians chapter 6, turn there in your Bible, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. We're going to see the responsibility, and we're going to see the reward, and we're going to see the reason, the responsibility, the reason, and the reward. First of all, the responsibility in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And the promise is that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the earth. But the responsibility, first of all, this is a pronouncement of God. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. The basic responsibility in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament is to honor your parents. To honor means to esteem, to hold in high regard, to value as precious. And this is done three ways chronologically. When you're a child, you honor your parents by obeying their commands. This is highlighted again in just a couple, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The first stage is one of obeying your parents. A child is under his parents' authority as long as that child is under his parents' roof. That is, as long as they're dependent upon their parents physically and economically and financially. You need to listen to their instructions as to what you should do and what you should be and what you should read. And you need to treat your parents with respect, and they have the wisdom experience. They've been through the school of life, and you need to show them gratitude. They've given care. They've given time. They've given money. They've given prayers. You need to honor them. The second phase, when you're married, you honor your parents by following their Lord. There's a passage in 3 John that says, I have no greater joy than this, and know that my children walk in truth. So when you're married, one of the ways you can honor your parents is by following the Lord. The second stage often kind of begins to start when you graduate from college or by marriage. But when a couple marries, the husband moves out from the authority of his parents to directly under God, and the wife moves out from under the authority of her parents to directly under her husband, and they set up a new chain of command with the husband and wife directly under God. They've moved out from under their parents financially, economically, physically, and started a new home. The third phase is when you're old, you honor your parents by meeting their needs. There's an interesting situation that takes place in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 15 where this Jesus is talking to some people, and there are some people who are saying, well, I would honor my parents, I would help my parents, I would take care of my parents, but you see, I've committed this money to God. And Jesus makes it very clear that that is an excuse and not a reason, and it's not an acceptable excuse. And you need to honor your parents by helping them in their old age. So the responsibility is to honor your father and your mother. Now I'd like to suggest that there are some protests that might come from young people when they hear, well, they're to obey their parents. And they say, you know, my family is messed up. But before I address the protests from some kids, there's another issue that I need to address. It is sad that it needs to be addressed. But it's a reality in our world. There are some parents that are abusive. It might be verbally, physically, emotionally abusive, and that is inexcusable. It is wrong. It's wrong legally. It's wrong morally. And it's wrong biblically. Parents don't have the right to abuse their children. Parents don't have the right to ask their children to do things that are wrong. Parents who are intentionally maiming their kids and putting them out the street to beg. Parents that are selling their kids into sex slavery. There's all kinds of things like that going on in our world today. It's heartbreaking. The passage we're looking at is addressing Christian homes. It's already talked to Christian wives. It's already talked to Christian husbands. And now talk to Christian children and Christian parents is coming next. Christians belong to the Lord, and Christians should be seeking to do what the Lord asks them to do. But anyhow, at this point, if I were addressing young people, there would be a number of them who would have some protests to this idea of obeying the parents. And the protest would go something like this. Protest number one. The only time I really get much attention from my folks is when I do something wrong. And first of all, I would think to myself, oh, parents, don't you realize how much your children want your time and your attention and your love? Don't you know how important it is to tell your kids that you love them, that you're proud of them? Don't you know how important it is to listen to your kids and to do things together with your kids? Ultimately, your kids want your time, not just your things. You need to understand that, parents, and I think, oh, I wish parents would understand how much more kids need their time than their money, or their time than just things. But then I would say to the young people, you can get recognition in two ways. You can get recognition by doing something very delightful and good, or you can get attention by doing something very disappointing and bad. So excel in doing what is good. Do good things at home. Take the initiative at home without being asked. You know, clean the garage, wash the car, choose good friends, do your homework. Your parents shouldn't have to ask you to do your homework. You should just do it. You know, excel in doing what is good. When I was playing basketball in junior high, I'll never forget the time when this guy on our team, we called him Tex. He was pretty tall. And Tex got the ball, and he just took a couple dribbles and made a beautiful hook shot in the opponent's basket. He got some attention from the coach, but not the kind of attention he wanted. Don't excel in doing bad. Excel in doing good. You can get attention by doing good. Had he scored 33 points in our basket, he might have got attention from the coach as well, but in a different way. It's the same thing with children and their parents. Give your parents something to be proud of. The second protest often goes like this. My parents don't even agree with one another. If I obey one, I'm disobeying the other. And I would think to myself, it's really too bad that the parents don't sit down and discuss things together, discuss areas of disagreement, come to a united position on entertainment, come to a united position on music, come to a united position on dating, come to a united position on time, how late they can be out. If they only realize that they're contributing to their kids' confusion, and it's not easy. But then I would turn to a teenager and I would say, in Ephesians, your father and mother are put on an equal plane. You're to obey your parents, plural. You're to honor your father and mother. It's not obeying one or disobeying the other. And I would also add that the greater danger here is for teens to play one parent against another. They become masters at it, manipulating to get their own way. And I would caution the teenagers, don't try to manipulate your parents. Don't try to use one against the other. And do all you can to honor both. Protest number three. But Harlan, you don't know my parents. My parents just don't have an open mind. You can't have a decent discussion with parents. Every time you try to talk with them, it gets into an argument and a fight. And so I've just stopped trying to talk. I just listen and then disobey. Well, after that response, I would think, what a tragedy that some parents don't really try to understand their children. How I wish you would do your best to avoid arguing and fighting and instead give your children some legitimate choices to make. Would you like to do this or this? But then I would turn to the teens and I would say, you really can't expect your parents to understand your point of view unless you are working very hard to understand their point of view. Look at their responsibility. God is going to hold them accountable for raising you and teaching you and guiding you and protecting you. God is holding them responsible. This is an awesome responsibility for them. Look at their love. In spite of their arguing and seeming callousness to your wishes, you should know that they really do love you. And oftentimes, the very fact that they say no to you or punish you when you have disobeyed is a mark of their love, according to Scripture. Because if a father loves his children, he's going to discipline them. So you need to understand that there can be love even behind discipline. In fact, there should be. Look at their experience. Look at their insight. Look at their creativity. They've been down the road ahead of you, and you need to value their decisions. And you need to value their insight if you expect them to value yours, because they've had a lot more experience and a lot more time to learn the realities of life. Guard your tongue. Show respect. Don't just lock into one idea. Work at coming up with some creative alternatives. Be flexible and pray. Protest number 4. I cannot obey my parents because they're hypocrites. They don't even live up to the standards that they set for me. Well, my immediate thought is of the extreme importance of parents setting the pace and setting an example for their children. The old do as I say, not as I do philosophy is a bunch of hogwash. Kids can see right through it. Parents who smoke and tell their kids not to. Parents who swear and tell their kids not to. Parents who drink too much and tell their kids not to. Parents who lie and tell their kids not to. That kind of hypocrisy is shallow. Kids see right through it. And it's shameful. God sees it as well. But then I would turn to the teenager and say, well, remember, we're all sinners. We all have times when we mess up, when we fail, when we fall. Hopefully your parents are trying to honor God. You could set an example for your parents. I'll never forget that passage in 1 Timothy 4 that talks about, let no one look down on your youth, but be an example in spirit, in faith, in purity. Quietly submit to them and to God, and God may just use you to change their lives. Protest number 5. If I did all my parents asked and only what my parents allowed, I would be ostracized by my friends. Well, my first response would be to hope and pray that your parents understand how very vital it is that you have some good, solid, faithful Christian friends. One of the most staggering problems this generation faces is aloneness. And it, as hard as it is to understand, it's being heightened by technology. And rather than having time together with somebody, it's just a text. But I would say to the young person, remember what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. If your friends reject you because you honor your parents, then they're not genuine friends. They're bad company. A genuine friend sticks close. A genuine stays faithful. And a genuine friend shows love, according to the book of Proverbs. Protest number 6. My parents are inconsistent. They say one thing one week and another thing the next week. They allow one thing at one time, and then another time they don't allow it. They even say yes at times when they mean no, and I really don't know what they want for sure. And again, I think to myself, oh, if parents would only be clear in what they're communicating to their children. If they would only be fair, be firm, be fixed in their discipline and their guidelines and their decisions. It's so important for children to see consistency in their parents. But then I would say to the young person, would you be willing to do those things before God that you know He would want you to do? Because I believe if you're willing to do what God would want you to do, you would be fulfilling the spirit of your parents' feeble attempts to set some standards. This would be an adherence to the principles and the actions that God is calling for and your parents would consider to be right. I want to add a 7th protest. It's my life. I should have the right to do whatever I want to do. Now that protest fits incredibly well with our culture. It's my life, I can run it the way I want to. It's my life, I can do whatever I want to. I have the right to make my own decisions without reference to anyone or anything outside of myself. Today's youth are being bombarded with the idea that they're entitled and they have the right to do whatever they want to do. Some teens are not sure if there's actually a right and wrong. They're not sure there's an absolute truth. I think they want to know truth, but they don't want truth in a vacuum. They want truth in the context of a relationship. And I think most teens are looking for reality and relationships. And if we can give them truth in the context of a relationship, it makes a big difference. I would say to the young people, I'm so glad that you long for relationships and for reality. And I hope you come to the realization that God wants a relationship with you. I hope you'll learn to really enjoy His love. I hope you will learn to experience the reality of His forgiveness. I hope you will come to understand His word is truth, and that there are some absolutes, there are some rights and wrongs in this ever-changing world. And I hope you come to know very much how very much God loves you and how very much God values you. You are significant to Him. You're valued by Him. So those are the protests. A principle that comes out here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is a sign. If you are sharing these protests, it could be out of legitimate concerns. That's okay. Or it could be an indication that your life is controlled by the spirit of this age, and that's not okay. It could be an indication your life is not controlled by the Spirit of God. That's not okay. You need to turn your heart to God, and you need to yield to the Spirit of God, because remember, obedience to parents is a mark of a Spirit-filled child. Now, he gives us a reason. Why are we to do this? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why obey parents? Oh, 3 reasons stand out in the Scripture. Number 1, because it's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says it right there in Ephesians 6:1. And some of your kids are thinking, oh boy, here we go again. Sounds just like my folks. Obey, why? Oh, because I said so. Because it's right to obey. Isn't that just a little too simplistic? And I'll stop right there. Is it too simplistic? That question must be answered. Yes, it is simple, but it's not simplistic. It is scriptural. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Why should you do it? Because it's the right thing to do. We need to do the right thing. The Bible tells children to obey your parents, and that's His will. That's God's will. Think about that. God's will for youth is that they obey their parents. If your parents say, carry out the garbage, or mow the lawn, or straighten up your room, or be in by midnight, that is God's will for your life. It is fairly simple. Normally, the child is not responsible to evaluate the parents' decisions and obey the ones they consider right and disobey the ones they don't like. The Lord holds parents responsible for making the right decisions and the right choices and giving the right directions and the right guidelines. And one day, the parents will stand before God and give an answer to Him for their decisions and their guidelines and their discipline. The children's responsibility is obey. Unfortunately, due to the depravity of our world and the degraded minds of some parents, there is that exception I mentioned earlier. If your parents ask you to do something wrong, you don't have to obey. If your parents ask you to lie or cheat or steal or have sex outside of marriage, or you don't have to obey that. Now, next week, we're going to look at God's will for parents, Lord willing, or in our next study of Ephesians, I mean. But for now, he's talking to the children, and he's saying, obey because it's right. Secondly, obey because it's pleasing to the Lord. I read it a little earlier. I'm going to read it again. Colossians 3:20 gives two reasons. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Two phrases are noteworthy. First of all, in all things. Now, the context is given in the... I mean, this command is being given in the context of a Christian home. But it's interesting. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. Not in some things. Not just in things that you want to do. If they tell you to go have an ice cream cone and you want to, you'll do it. But they tell you to go mow the lawn and you don't want to, you don't do it. No, in all things. But notice he says, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. The obedience of a child to his parents is really an obedience to God who's asked you to do that. And when you're doing what God asks you to do, it is pleasing to Him. And thirdly, it establishes a healthy pattern. And we see this in the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:2 predicts that in the last days, savage times will come because people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure, and they'll be disobedient to parents. Obedience to parents prepares young people to respect and submit to teachers or coaches or leaders or employers or their government. It sets a pattern. Obviously, God is over all of those authorities. And when those authorities move out from under the authority of God, sometimes there's opportunity for us to try to challenge and come up with creative alternatives. But lawlessness that prevails today in our country, in our culture, is a reflection of homes where children have not learned to obey their parents. And it's reflected in a society that says you're your own boss and you can do whatever you want to do. Is it illegal to do this at this age? Well, I'm going to do it anyhow because I want to. The responsibility is to honor your parents because it's right, it's pleasing the Lord, and it sets a good pattern. Now, what's the reward? Well, we see that in the last verse, Ephesians 6:3. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. This is the first of all the Mosaic commands with a promise. It's a difficult task, but with its fulfillment comes a delightful promise. And in fact, there are two promises. First of all, that it may be well with you. Secondly, that you may live long on the earth. So I like to break them up this way. The first is to live happily, have a good life. The blessing of God comes upon the obedient child. And who doesn't want his blessing? What does it mean when it says it may go well with you? Well, the Bible gives the answer in the book of Proverbs, where we're told that you'll get wisdom, you'll have protection, you'll experience purity, you experience peace, you experience riches, you experience honor, you experience joy, and you experience life. That's the blessing. It'll be well with you. And secondly, is a long life. You not only live happily, you live abundantly. And that is, the disobedient child is experiencing death. There's destruction, there's disappointment, there's heartache. The obedient child is experiencing life. That's a basic principle. We see it in the book of Proverbs. There's both a quantity and quality of life that is exponentially better for the one who's following God than for the one who's going away from God. Now, I understand it's clear in the scripture even that good children can die young and bad people can live to an old age. But there's a general principle we see in the book of James that lust leads to sin and sin leads to death. I call it the LSD cycle, lust, sin, death. LSD, lust, sin, death. Unchecked lust leads to sin, and uncontrolled sin brings forth death. There's a high school girl who ate some stuff she shouldn't have eaten, inhaled some stuff, took some stuff in, the drug that she shouldn't have. She goes running down the stairs, grabbed the parakeet out of its cage, and stuck it in her mouth and choked to death. Just a couple months ago, some kids from Wyoming came to Colorado because they can get marijuana here, and the kid threw himself off a balcony, and he died. A high school player who was a high scorer on the team, had a college scholarship, and was looking forward to what lie ahead, had one of his last games in high school, and was and again had a phenomenal game and was a high scorer. And some friends invited him to the home for a party afterwards, and they were all downstairs doing some drugs. He woke up the next day in a hospital. He'd been found wandering around in the streets, and he wasn't able to even go to college because he had messed up his mind so badly. Another high school boy was not just drinking, but drinking to drunkenness. And it was prom night, and he was in my brother's class, and got in his car and couldn't make the curve in the road, and he hit the culvert as he went off the road, and it killed him. Lust leads to sin. Sin leads to death. There's a principle, a pattern. Has to be admitted that sin cuts short life, not only quantitatively, but also qualitatively. It binds, it blinds, and it grinds you down. It makes you miserable. It leaves you feeling guilty. It destroys relationships. It brings heartache to you, to your parents, and others around you. So let's wrap this up. Three things. And then a fourth. First of all, honor your parents. Obedience to your parents is evidence of a heart that is maturing and spirit-filled and submissive to Christ. It's not based on your parents' worth. They're sinners just like you. It's based on Christ's worth. You honor, obey your parents as the Lord. If you're a child, you obey their wishes. If you're mature, you seek their counsel. If you're old, you meet their needs. Second, what if I've failed? Disobedience or disrespect or disregard for parents is an open violation of God's word. And if you're in this condition, then there are three things you need to do. First, confess your sin to the Lord. Second, apologize to your parents. Third, begin to do what God has asked. Thirdly, focus on your responsibilities, not on your rights. This is a thing that I found is difficult for people in marriage oftentimes. And in any relationship, people want to focus on their rights rather than their responsibilities. If you fulfill your responsibilities, your parents will expand your freedoms. The more good decisions you make, the more decisions your parents will allow you to make. Consistent obedience by a child brings about increasing freedom and flexibility and trust from parents. I found that myself. They knew they could trust me, so they gave me greater freedom. I got to make more of my own choices. Instead of them setting the limits, they allowed me to set the limits. Number four, count on God's power to change you, not yours. Count on God's power to change your parents, not yours. Count on His power, not yours, to change lives. Instead of pouting, try praying. Instead of fighting, try fasting. Instead of manipulating, try motivating. Instead of lying, tell the truth. Instead of relying on your own schemes, trust in God's grace. He can change attitudes, He can change minds, He can change you. So this is your prayer. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Every breath that I take, every moment I take, Lord, have your way in me. You may see a pattern here. Each of these spirit-filled, wife, husband, child, parent, we're going to end with the same song. Lord, have your way in me. It's my desire to honor you. With all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I'm willing to obey you and follow you and do what you want. Lord, have your way in me. Let's stand and sing that as we close.